Well, after a great discussion about the last topic, I will continue with another topic related to speaker diarization. My name is Pavel Tomášek, and I was working previous semester as an Erasmus student in at the University of Avignon at Laboratoire Informatique d'Avignon, where my supervisors were Corinne Freduil and Dries Matriff. It was about preliminary study of factor analysis-based approaches applied to the speaker diarization task of meetings. Well, what it will be about? I will briefly describe speaker diarization, also factor analysis. I will tell you something about the objectives of this study, some experiments, and the perspectives. Shortly about diarization, I suppose almost all of you know what speaker diarization means, what is its purpose. Speaker diarization tries to find the answer on question who spoke when. We don't have any a priori knowledge about speakers, their number, and their identity. As you can see, here is a small graph with an output of such a system, where we can see the speech segments are labeled by the speakers. The diarization system tries to find the same segments of speakers and label them. For my experiments, I used a diarization system developed in LIA. The system participated in a NIST rich transcription campaign since 2003. The system uses top-down strategy. What is the top-down strategy? I will answer now. The top-down strategy consists of four main steps. The first step is in speech activity detection, where two pre-trained GMM models are used as models of speech and non-speech. Then it's used Viterbi decoding and map adaptation. Another step is segmentation, where is used evolutive hidden Markov model, also Viterbi decoding, and the third and fourth steps are almost the same. It's resegmentation, but using different parametrization. Factor analysis is well known in fields like speaker verification, language identification, and video gender classification. And the big difference you can see is mathematically described in these two equations, where the first equations is standard GMM UBM modeling, and the second equation contains UX, which is modeling the session variability. So what about trying factor analysis dealing the single audio files? We have situation, for example, speaker is speaking and environment of the recording is changing, like the speaker is going around the microphone and the distance of speaker and the microphone is changing. The factor analysis can be helpful in this case. We tried two approaches in this work, and the first is by localizing subspace U containing the intersegment variability, and the second is in localizing the interspeaker variability. About the experimental protocol, the details are the following. As a development set, I used 23 audio files from NIST rich transcriptions since 2004 to 2006. It took place in 7 different meeting rooms, and from some statistical data, the recordings have from 10 to 18 minutes, containing from 4 to 9 participants. And as evaluation set, I used 7 audio files from NIST from the previous year. They have from 17 to 27 minutes and from 4 to 7 speakers. The multiple distant microphones were used here, and as a performance measure, I used diarization error rate. The factor analysis modeling was applied only in the third step of the speaker diarization system. Now, the first approach, the modeling of inter-speaker variability, the U matrix here in this equation is common to all speakers, and the assumptions are main relevant speaker information located in low dimension subspace and the rest of the speaker information in the full space. And the results are on the next page. There is nothing interesting except one thing. It's the difference between these two columns. What does it mean? The first column contains the baseline diarization error rates of these files without application of factor analysis. The next column contains results after application factor analysis resegmentation containing the UX, and the last without UX. And the difference is big, in average about 10%. What does it mean? It means that the UX can contain some information useful for modeling speaker. In this case, the only thing which is important, all the results are in average worse. The second approach is inter-segment variability. It's almost the same, except the base thing that the variability is modeling inter-segment. So the results are at this page. Here are the baseline diarization error rate. There is after application of factor analysis with modeling with UX and here without UX. What is interesting here, it's only that fact that some speaker information is present in the inter-segment component, but not significant. I tried another experiment, and it was based on filtering of speech segments in a development set. In the first column you can see there are results of system which uses U matrix estimated on all speech segments from the development set. In the next column you can see results of system using U matrix estimated on segments longer or equal to 1 second, and so on, 2 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. The most interesting thing in this table is the big difference in these values for this file. It's the original diarization error rate for this file was about 20%. After application, this modeling and this filtration of segments shorter than 1 second, we improved the segmentation about 15.5%. Well, it's interesting. And if we move this segmentation so much, we got from 20% error rate to 5% error rate. What about next resegmentation step using normal standard resegmentation step? The hypothesis is that we can gain another improvements with Viterbi and map adaptation, and we can see here that this hypothesis is confirmed because from the well changed segmentation we improved it but by another 1.4%. But this is important and significant only for this file where the segmentation changed a lot. In general, it's not significant, these changes. And the resegmentation was just about classical Viterbi and map adaptation. I would like to summarize this work. I tested two strategies, the inter-speaker variability modeling and inter-segment variability modeling, and only the second has an improvement of the segmentation, but very poor. It can be useful to filter some short speech segment in the part of estimation U matrix, and it's also useful, as you saw, another resegmentation step. Next work can be done with more training data and with large number of speakers when dealing with the inter-speaker variability. Regarding the inter-segment variability, it can be interesting to when dealing with multiple distant microphones. And also another tests can be done when application factor analysis based speaker modeling in the first step of the speaker diarization system. Well, thank you very much for your attention, and if you have any questions.
Questions?
Probably you reported an improvement when actually you selected only the speech segments longer than 1 second, right? That means that actually you, in your segmentation you have lots of mess, lots of very short segments,
yes,
maybe a couple of files. So could you tell us how your VAD was configured? Were there any limits for the minimum duration of a segment?
Sorry, I cannot tell anything about VAD because I just worked with the diarization system as it was. Maybe Corinne, if knows some details. But maybe I didn't understood well. This filtration is made on the development set.
Very short mess of maybe just a couple of frames in the development set that basically destroyed your mode. So that's why I'm asking, was there any lower limit for the segment duration?
No, in fact, the U-matrix is trained on the development set, so we have the reference for the development set. So we can choose the length of the segment.
Oh,
used for the training.
Is the reference segmentation?
Yeah, for the U-matrix estimation, yeah.
Well, I have a question. So I see that there's an inter-speaker variability, an inter-segment variability, and question to you. Mm-hmm. So I guess inter-segment variability reflects the change of speaker. It's useful information for detecting speaker changes. So I would expect that the inter-speaker compensation can give you some information, but we should keep, you know,
okay,
inter-segment variability information. We should not compensate it. We should not remove this information.
Well,
you get what I mean? In
the estimation of U-matrix on the development set, we had the reference. And the U-matrix was estimated, in this case, for each speaker, between the segments of one speaker. So it was not inter-segment variability in the way of inter-all segments variability. Only it was inter-segment variability of a certain speaker. All speakers separated.
I understand. And then you do a resegmentation using a generative model. You mentioned resegmentation, right? How is the process go? So you have one right labeling, you and then how many rounds of resegmentations?
How many resegmentations?
Right.
Well, there is one segmentation and then take place another resegmentation. In this case, it was resegmentation uses factor analysis modeling. And the resegmentation was iterating until the number of changes of in the segmentation was less than a certain value.
So it's just one resegmentation.
One resegmentation process with many iterations.
Right, many iterations.
Okay. Yes.
No, I saw you have a slide that says that FA plus resegmentation or something.
I don't know which slide you mean. You mean this? There are parts of the...
resegmentation, yeah.
Yes. This is the original baseline system. Mm-hmm. And there are two resegmentation steps. And the factor analysis took place after this resegmentation step as last part of the diarization system.
Okay.
If I can answer, in fact, the number of iteration is not fixed. It depends of the changes during the process. So when we estimate that there is no more changes between the segmentation, between the different states, we stop.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yes, that's why I want to know. Any more questions? Yes.
About your test set, so you only scored the sections of the meetings that did not have overlapping speakers, correct?
We tested only the evaluation set from the NIST.
Right, but there were different ways to score that. There was a parameter which determined how much overlapping speech was included. And your error rates are quite low, so I assume you did not score the overlapping speakers. But that's just an assumption I wanted to confirm with you.
Well, the error rates...
Maybe you don't know because you just ran.
For example, the error rates here are the global error rates, the total error rates, including false alarm, missed speech, and speaker change.
Okay.
I don't know if I understand well.
Oh, okay. And then about this one meeting where you had a significant improvement.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that on one of the NIST meetings, there was a much larger number of speakers than on the other meetings. And I wonder if that was the one meeting where you saw a big gain. So there were many more speaker changes because the number of speakers were actually like double of the other meetings. So I wondered if you had actually looked at some statistics of your meetings to see if there are some variable like the number of speakers that could predict when your method works well and when it might not make a difference.
Well, I don't have any hard statistics, no.
Do you need more information? we didn't not analysis about these results. We know that this the gain of performance is not necessary due to the factor analysis here, because if we change for instance the initialization of the system, we know that we can have this improvement. In fact, in this work, the goal was to explore a different way of applying factor analysis in speakerization on meetings where there is a lot of speakers, more speakers than in conversation, telephone conversation. So that's it. And about the overlap, we didn't score with overlap. Because we did not do something for to deal with the overlap zone, so we didn't score with that.